sports betting landscape from coast to coast. This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome into the show. It is Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard. I'm your host from Vegas. Your other host is Across America out there in Boston, Josh Applebaum. Good afternoon, Josh.
Good afternoon, Pritch. I know you and I are both feeling good today. It was a heck of a sweat, and we got dicey there at the end. We're going to go through all the odds and ends of last night's game, but the Washington football team coming up big for contrarians. You're seeing these primetime dogs now 23-13 ATS on the year. And also, Pritch, one thing from last night, you know, we were talking about maybe a weird bet first dollar percentage to the over, yet kind of seeing some late money where it dropped 47 to 46.5. If you actually kind of look at some of these primetime totals recently, Pritch, they're now 19-16 to the under on the season, only 54%, but they're 17-5 to the under the last 2 months of these primetime games. So primetime unders, another dog, pour one out here for Washington here, Pritch. Big hit there if you took the points. And remember, that thing moved late towards Seattle.
Right.
That's like 1.5 or 2, but it didn't matter. And you were my Seahawks whisperer. I'm glad I listened to you, Pritch. Football team, a big, big winning cover last night.
I'm not pouring one out after that game, Josh. I did not pour anything out. I consumed. I mean, that was incredible sweat right there. Thanks to Ben Wilson, our producer, to talk me off the ledge because I was trying to think about, because I hit my teaser. And I was trying to think about, okay, I can have a pretty nice weekend if I hit this bet too. And, okay, how do I protect it? But then just let it ride. Just let it play out. And I did. And you're right. The movement there late out here on the board, we had Seattle closing -2 there. And, okay, is Russell Wilson in primetime, really? And that's probably the bet. And for me to lay one with Washington, you said dicey. I mean, Gibson running out of bounds. Okay, your kicker. And by the way, you're a professional football player and you're a punter in the league. Can you not kick a field goal for 27, 25 yards? I mean, that has to happen. And if you need a backup holder, you've got a backup quarterback for that too. I mean, irresponsible if you ask me when it comes to the football team almost losing that football game.
No, I'm right there with you, Pritch. And again, injury to a kicker. And these are the sort of things, you know, who's your backup? And can he make, you know, and they kept saying on the broadcast, Pritch, he can make it from 35 or 30 or less. Mm-hmm. Well, you're at that pretty much the 1 yard line, a chip shot there, but they refused to go for it. And obviously it got dicey when, again, it looked like a touchdown, but the ball hit the ground. They didn't count it. And then you go back the other way and Russell Wilson, it's like you can do nothing offensively all night. No targets really at all for DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
Yet at the end, they're making these moves. And I keep thinking of Michael Lombardi in my head. Are you really going to bet on Jack Del Rio to dial something up and protect the lead? Well, obviously they score, but thank God they didn't, you know, convert that 2-point conversion, because Pritch, what an epic bad beat that would have been if they converted that. Then you go to overtime. Anything can happen in overtime. But again, dog play here, 11-1 now at these Monday Night Football favorites, home team straight up. And again, another under cash there. So it was a big public play towards Seattle. You did have some late movement towards Seattle, but in the end, kind of all those systems and strategies you're talking about with Washington came true. And you were right, Pritch. This Seattle team has issues. You saw it last night, mm-hmm. even though it was a heck of a sweat. Football team comes through for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, as a player, Josh, look, prevent defenses, which Del Rio was doing right there towards the end. They prevent you from winning. I mean, why are you changing up everything you did for, I don't know, 57 minutes of a football game, or actually 58, and then you're going to change up and go prevent, which almost prevented you from winning that football game. But look ahead spots, too, because of Seattle, the Russell Wilson situation, the Pete Carroll situation. I mean, that's over, right? We all know that. We all saw the writing on the wall before the season even started. They're at a point where that Super Bowl window is closed, and I don't think they're at a point either between the two of them to go through what they need to go through to rebuild it together. And so, therefore, they have to have a separation. There's all kind of rumors, certainly after the season. But now you're just playing out the strings. So from a betting perspective with Seattle, knowing that dynamic, Josh, does that change your opinion on anything? I mean, I know the lines are going to influence a lot of things we think about. But knowing that there's a divorce at the end of the year between Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, I mean, does that influence you at all?
So it does, Pritch, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, I'm of the mantra that I want to buy on bad news. So if a team isn't playing well, there's bad rumors, you know, things are not looking good, I actually want to kind of support that, because oftentimes just in terms of value, mm-hmm. you're going to get your most value by buying low on bad news and selling high on good news. But again, kind of what we've seen from this team, Pritch, you know, I'm not going to auto bet against them moving forward just because they don't look good, because I think, you know, that's going to kind of a public mindset. And if anything, the odds makers know that. They know that Seattle is really underachieved, and they know that kind of the eye test says this team is really floundering. floundering, so just bet against them. But you got to be a little bit concerned where maybe the odds makers shade lines against them to where you're really not getting good numbers, and you're kind of, in a way, kind of buying low on Seattle moving forward. So I'm not really going to look too much to the spreads here, okay. But I would say, Pritch, unders with Seattle. This is a team that really isn't generating anything offensively, and defensively they're kind of decent. You know, they're only giving up 20 points a game, but they're now 9-1-1 to the under here, Pritch. And if you're looking at this game against the 49ers, you had early movement to San Fran. I think a lot of these early numbers, it was only like 2.5. I even saw like a 1.5 type number early, immediately shoots up to the 49ers, now 3.5. But I'm looking at that under, Pritch. It opened 46, it's down to 45.5 now at a lot of shops. Seattle's been cashing a lot of unders, and also the 49ers going to be without Debo Samuel, it looks like. He's a really important part of their offense. So you look at these late season divisional unders week 12 on, they're about 57% historically. I'd be looking at Seattle under opportunity there, under 45.5 or 46 if you can find it.
Yeah, we saw what the football team did with their rushing attack. Certainly change of pace too with two running backs right there. Imagine what the 49ers could perhaps do against that Seattle defense, and no home field advantage either for the 12 situation up there in Seattle. Now, offensively for Seattle, you mentioned something key. I want to focus in on four bettors. DK Metcalf, not involved in the offense. I think that's on Russell. I mean, he had him open plenty of times for third down conversions. And what's been handcuffing the Seattle Seahawks offense is the fact that they can't convert on third downs. You think about that two-point play when Russell threw it back inside for the interception. If he would have stuck with DK Metcalf, he had the two-point conversion right there. DK was wide open heading towards the side of the end zone there. But there's something going on, in my opinion, between Russell and the fact that he's not relating to that beast of a receiver that he has on his roster.
I'm right there with you, Pritch. And again, really surprising. You know, full transparency, I'm in a fantasy league with my buddies. My buddy had Metcalf last night. I'm up by 10 points, and I'm like, ooh, he makes a couple plays, I'm going to lose this. And yeah, you don't see any targets, no targets. He finally had a, play out of bounds, to get a first down there late. But it's really surprising, Pritch, not only in terms of, not getting the ball to one of your best players,
right,
but also, like, even if he doesn't catch it, get a pass interference. We've done shows quite a bit, throughout the season talking about these pass, flag happy type referees that, if someone gets a hold on him or, kind of slows him up or kind of throws him off target, throw the flag. So it wasn't that they weren't just targeting him, but it's almost like, Pritch, we make a futures bet, at least we can hedge it maybe. You're not even looking for a PI. You're not even looking to get the guy involved. And, one thing the Patriots do with Jonnu Smith is like an end around or a jet sweep. None of that with Metcalf. It just seems questionable to me. And Pritch, I think Troy Aikman mentioned this or one of the commentators, but last year the Seahawks had kind of almost a record season in terms of offense and scoring. And then they let go of their offensive coordinator. Like, you're kind of outsmarting yourself at that point. And again, a lot of issues here with Seattle. I'd be looking at unders moving forward. Again, 9-1-1 to these Seattle unders this year.
Yeah, I just don't understand how a quarterback does not have a go-to receiver. He has a go-to receiver, but he's just not going to him, which is ridiculous to think about. Looking ahead, too, with the Washington football team on short week against the Raiders, Gibson with the workload, 29 carries. McKissick with the the neck injury right there, too. I think he went numb or he had that stinger. That's why they brought the cart. They weren't sure about, how careful they wanted to be with McKissick in that neck. So thinking ahead here with the Raiders laying 2.5, I mean, yeah, Gibson with a tough workload just on Monday night, last night.
Yeah, great point by you, Pritch. And again, kind of got nervous there if you're a Washington football ticket holder seeing him get hurt, saying, hey, if he's out of this game, we're in trouble. And again, luckily he finished and had a really good game. But Pritch, looking at Washington and the Raiders, would jump out to me. Looks like this line is going to 3. You had some openers like 1.5, 2.5 maybe, trending toward a 3 here. Obviously, non-conference matchups, even though we've had a really good dog year this year and last year, non-conference favorites tend to do well. And you're a non-conference favorite kind of with a high total. Again, a more expected point scored makes it easier on a favorite to cover a short number there. So it's moving toward Vegas here. But I would say, Pritch, if we get to 3, I think you're going to get buyback naturally, key number with Washington football team here. But if it stays 2.5, I like a teaser play there with Washington. 2.5, up to 8.5, 3-7. You're my teaser guy, Pritch. So I'm sure that's one that you already are looking at.
I'm keeping an eye on the injury situation. McKissick certainly there, and then Gibson, the workload, and some other key injuries too defensively there for the Washington football team. So keep an eye on that on a short week. Other injury news or news that could affect your bet. Ian Rappaport reports that Taysom Hill is taking the first team reps in practice this week for New Orleans. Not a surprise. Not a surprise at all because of Trevor Siemian. And then the COVID situation with the Cowboys. Amari Cooper will be back, but states that he does not feel great right now. He might not practice today. So I'm keeping an eye on the practice reports. They should be coming out momentarily here, Josh, but Cowboys -5 in this game so far.
Yeah, really important game to get the injury reports here, as all games are, Pritch, you know, just in general. But you're totally right. We did see a little buyback, you know, so kind of the way I viewed this game to start, you had a lot of books like -5.5. Some even got up to -6. Then all the COVID news comes out with Dallas and their coaching staff. And, obviously McCarthy is going to miss this game and mm-hmm. Philbin. And you have kind of a COVID situation that we don't particularly know how much it's going to spiral and how many more players will be affected. Now, again, might get Cooper back. You could get CeeDee Lamb back, so that definitely benefits the Cowboys here. But that early move was definitely toward New Orleans, combining with the news that we heard that Taysom Hill is going to start. And again, Pritch, if you make me gouge my eyes out again and watch Trevor Siemian as a dog better, I don't think I can ever do that again after Thursday night on Thanksgiving. But it was creeping down to like 4 at some shops, had a little buyback. I think when Dallas got to -4, bring it back to 4.5. So I'll still lean Saints here. Again, you're really buying low on a team that's really struggled here as of late. Dallas has had issues also. Now they have some COVID situations that you got to be aware of. But again, another teaser opportunity. Anytime I see a 4.5 dog, Pritch, I immediately think about taking them up to 10.5. You go through the 7, you go through the 10. New Orleans at home, super contrarian. I'd be looking at a teaser play there. And if they can't cover a 10.5 mm-hmm. against a COVID Cowboys squad, then we really got issues in New Orleans, Pritch.
Still a good team if you think about defensively, but a defense that's lacking confidence because of who's at quarterback. No leadership, devoid of Drew Brees. At least last year, they won games with Taysom Hill, somebody that they can believe in. So Sean Payton pulling trigger on that. Let's see if it works out for the Saints coming up against Cowboys. Whew, what a first segment. A lot to get to. Who's in, who's out when it comes to playoffs? We'll go over those odds coming up next.
Network.
Hey everybody, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID, open an account, and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love the technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel that you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. So going over the playoff picture, Josh Applebaum, in the AFC, 6 teams are either tied for or one game back of the 7th seed in the playoffs. So it sets up for outstanding betting, I think, down the stretch here, right? So let's go over who's in, who's out, odds to make the playoffs too. So at the bottom right now with the Chargers, 6-5, they're currently the 7th seed. The yes, odds to make the playoffs, -130. The no, +110. And we'll go over some other teams as well.
Yeah, Pritch, a couple of these jump out to me. Number one, let's start with the Bengals. Let's give some respect to the Bengals here. This is a team with Zach Taylor that really, you know, struggled here ever since he took over, struggled for a long time here in general, but really got something going this year. They've already cashed their win total over 6.5 with a 7-4 record now. And also, they are the 5th seed. If, you know, playoffs started today, they're in at -175. That's a bet I think that is worth making here. And Pritch, if you look at this upcoming number and kind of looking at just in general who will make or miss the playoffs, two teams that are on that board right there, the Chargers and the Cincinnati Bengals. Right. You're seeing some movement towards Cincinnati, Pritch. It's going to be a big game for a lot of these playoff implications. A lot of these books were -2.5. And then early on, we're seeing this some money towards Cincinnati kind of riding the hot hand here, moving this number up to 3. So just in terms of being a favorite at home by 3, again, no such thing as locker or guarantee, but if they can get that game at home, now you move to 8-4, and now you're going to be even in a better spot. That -175 maybe turns into, I don't know, -250 or something after you win that game. And Pritch, it's really, you know, offensively, we know Chase and Burrow have got this great connection, and they're putting up a lot of points. Look at the last couple games here. You know, you're scoring, what, 41, 32? I mean, you're easily putting up 30 as this offense continues to click, but it's defensively that I think what you really like about Cincinnati. We didn't expect them to be this great defensive team. Pritch, they're only giving up 20 points a game. I mean, that's really, really impressive. So I'd be looking at that -175 to lay it with the Bengals to make the playoffs. To me, that's it's a minus number, but it's not too much to lay. I think it's a decent number there.
Sneaky good free agency moves right there for the Bengals, too, defensively. A mix of veteran players on that roster that are hungry, and then also still younger players that are understanding and learning the nuances of the game there with the Bengals. So a good mix with that roster. I agree with you on that. And also the physical nature of this offense with Mixon. If Mixon's running the ball like he has been recently, and they're 3-0 when he goes over 100 yards every time right there. So if he's running the ball like this effectively against nickel defenses, what are they going to do? They're going to make sure somebody else is extra in the box, and then all of a sudden you have these receivers, excellent receivers for Burrow one-on-one a lot of times.
Yeah, again, that's really, really important. Again, we talked, it was almost like Pritch, the announcers last night were listening to our show yesterday talking right about running the ball. And exactly, I thought of you as soon as they're saying that, how, again, it's an offensive league and we want a lot of action through the air. But running the ball and kind of just breaking the will of your opponent, these long drives where you just can't stop the run. I always think of Bart Scott, you know, can't stop a nosebleed. Said that to my Patriots when they went into Foxborough and won a big playoff game. But Pritch, one other team that just, to me, has a little bit of value, the Indianapolis Colts. I know they have that tough loss last week against the Bucs, and again, I still can't get over everyone who should have pushed the plus +3, but of course Fournette had to score there late to kill everybody with the points
incentives,
there, I guess, if you're on
incentives.
The Bucs. Yeah, exactly, Britt. You're happy there if you catch that one. But to me, at plus +115 for the Colts to make the playoffs, I think that's another worthwhile bet. Mm. Oddsmakers are telling you it's a coin flip, maybe slightly improbable there, but still getting a little plus money. You're now a big favorite at Houston. Maybe you go to 7-6 there after that win. Did see the Colts open around minus -7.5 all the way up to minus -9 or minus -9.5 in that game. And again, the Titans, who I have a lot of respect for, that just kind of the whole operation there with Vrabel and very well-coached team, and maybe you get these injured guys back. But if they don't come back, Pritch, war of attrition, maybe you see that the Titans drop off a little bit, the Colts kind of make their move. I don't know if they can win the division, but at plus +115, I think there's an opportunity there to cash that bet.
Very balanced team, and getting back to teams that are running the football, we saw that last night play out, and I think that's the trend. I mean, we mentioned it several weeks ago in terms of teams identifying the fact that there's so many nickel and dime defenses out there. Why make it complicated? Why not just buckle that chin strap and run the football because of the lighter linebackers and the lighter personnel on the field? And we're seeing teams do that moving forward in the National Football League. More and more teams are trying to take advantage of the situations defensively. So focusing in on other teams, you mentioned the Colts, very balanced. But I'm worried about their schedule, though, Josh. They got Houston, but then they got New England, Arizona, Vegas, and Jacksonville. I mean, they're 6-6 right now.
That is tough. And again, kind of you read those that laundry list of teams that are upcoming. I guess Jacksonville, you're feeling like you can get that one. But yeah, that is a tough schedule. I think part of it isn't just, you know, banking on the Colts to kind of ascend and continue to win.
Yeah.
But you really need simultaneously that drop off from Tennessee to kind of open that window.
Right.
So again, the more you look at these schedules, and we always mention it, but if you're going to bet these prop bets, go through each game on the schedule to kind of, you know, check out the look ahead lines, see what kind of numbers there are out there. Pritch, one thing I would mention, it's a little high, but Browns to miss the playoffs, minus -350. That's kind of intriguing to me. I don't want to tie up my bankroll, you know, too long here or toward the tail end of the season. Minus -350 is a big number, but you're not going to get three teams probably from that division. And if you're high on Cincinnati and the Ravens continue to win, I don't think there's any room for the Browns there to make the playoffs. At minus -350 could be appealing.
Oh, yeah, Browns schedule, remaining schedule, Baltimore, Vegas, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
Missed the playoffs, Rich. Yeah,
minus -350. Let's get that up. Yeah. With all the mess right there. And another parent chiming in, I guess Kareem Hunt's dad is also chiming in, piling on Baker Mayfield right now.
Oh, man. At least Mr. Papa Pritchard, Papa Applebaum, they keep their mouths shut. They know what
right.
they do. They keep it to us. Yeah.
Although, if I was on that roster, my dad might have something to say, too, though, right now. How about the Raiders? 6-5, big game, short week for Washington football team, plus +300. Right here on odds to make the playoffs. Yes, plus +300 for the Raiders to miss the playoffs, minus -375. Okay, here's the Raiders' remaining schedule. Washington coming up, KC, Cleveland falling apart, wheels coming off, Denver, Indy, and then the Chargers.
That sounds like a pretty tough schedule to me, Pritch, but I will admit I can't get this Vegas team right. I mean, I feel like when I'm high on them, they lose. When I dismiss them and feel like, you know, all these controversies are swirling and kind of screwing up their season, then sometimes they show up and play well like they did against the Cowboys here. But also, like, I like the plus money and also the minus number. The odds makers are telling you at minus 375, it's likely that they miss the playoffs. But I don't know. This is a very tough team to predict. And as long as you got that offense and Carr is healthy, mm-hmm. I think you got a, you know, a puncher's chance here, Pritch. What do you think? Which number would you be more inclined to bet with the Raiders?
I tell you what, I think the Raiders can beat anybody on their schedule. They've proven that this year if they're right. A lot of things have happened. Certainly, you lose a head coach who's the identity of your team. And so you have to recover after that. And then one of your playmakers is no longer on your team. But you replace him with DeSean Jackson. I mean, the odds that they could find a receiver with speed after losing a receiver with speed in the middle of the year, what are the odds on that? So if they get it together, I mean, that schedule is tough, though. It's grueling. But they can beat anybody on their schedule remaining out here.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, Pritch. And again, kind of surprising. Let's give DeSean Jackson credit, Pritch. He hasn't gotten hurt yet. I mean, again, you right. kind of feel like this guy at any moment is going to be knocked out of a game, but he's been pretty good pickup there, you know, kind of taking in that fast role, that fast, you know, outside receiver that we saw Henry Ruggs assume recently. But Pritch, one comment, one note here, these really big numbers, like, do we think the Bills are going to make the playoffs most likely, but at minus 1,200, too much risk and not enough reward there. The other one is the Dolphins. Will they miss the playoffs? Probably, but are you going to bet minus 3,000? I don't think so. I think the key is with all these prop bets to not go crazy with assuming something is a lock or a shoe-in. You're really looking for those, you know, plus 120, minus mm-hmm. 120. Those are the numbers that I really look toward when I'm going to bet props like this.
So I was going to ask you about the Dolphins because that's the long shot. Plus 1,200 to make the playoffs, to miss the playoffs, minus 3,000, right? So Dolphins remaining schedule, and they've been on a winning streak here. Giants, Jets, New Orleans, Tennessee, then New England. I mean, New England could have things wrapped up for that last game of the year, and they always have a hard game against Miami on the road in Miami. So what about the Miami and the run that they've been on? Is this long shot worthy?
That's intriguing, Pritch. Is it going to happen? I don't know, but you kind of, you know, throw that schedule at me. And again, the caveat of maybe New England's got it wrapped mm-hmm. up and doesn't even try really hard. Exactly. So I would lean way more to the plus 1,200 to make it than I would the minus 3,000 to miss. It's all about, to me, Pritch, the risk versus the reward. You know, if especially if you're a flat bettor like me or you bet to risk, not bet to win, it's all about what you're risking and what you're getting back. So to me, don't just fall for these layups. Look for those kind of more evenish type numbers where I think the value lies.
I tell you what, Cincinnati swept the season series against Pittsburgh for the first time in 12 years, too. So the Bengals have that. And their back pocket. The VSIN holiday offer is here. Right now, when you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you'll also receive a $20 credit to the VSIN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season. Plus, get $20 to buy VSIN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, this is a limited time offer, so sign up right now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at vsin.com/subscribe. Well, we went over the AFC. The NFC is even wilder with the playoff situation. We'll go over that and the odds coming up next right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This segment of Betting Across America is brought to you by Zen Nicotine Pouches, a fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vape. No more smelling like an ashtray, no more spit cups, and no batteries to charge or leaky equipment to deal with. Zen Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties like Spearmint, Wintergreen, Citrus, and many more. Each variety comes in two strengths, so you can easily find the satisfaction level that's perfect for you. Zen, which is America's number one nicotine pouch, is available in over 100,000 locations nationwide, meaning it's never been easier to find your Zen. So head over to zyn.com/find to locate a store near you. That's zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. So now the NFC, the wild NFC. Josh, think about this. Odds to make the playoffs. Like, we have 8 teams are either tied or one game back of the 7th seed, and all are below 500. I mean, right now the 7th seed is Washington, and they're below 500 at 5-6. So odds to make the playoffs plus 400 for the football team. Odds to miss the playoffs, they're the 7th seed, below 500 minus 550.
Yeah, Pritch, it's crazy. It kind of feels like all these teams play in the NFC East. That's kind of the running joke that I look at. You know, you're going to need one of these teams to sneak in, maybe with a 500 record or a game below or a game above. That makes this prop bet really, really intriguing. You know, I'll go a different direction, Pritch. Mm-hmm. I'm really high in the San Francisco 49ers right now. I love what I'm seeing out of them recently. They've won four of their last five. And really, you're getting this running game that's kind of turning everything around for you, being able to kind of possess the clock. And Elijah Mitchell, really, really big bonus for them. That's what they needed. And losing Raheem Mostert, I think that's why maybe they struggled early, not having that running game. A lot of Shanahan stuff is predicated on being able to run the ball. So you've now won four of your last five. And now you're in a good spot against Seattle, who obviously has a ton of issues right now, where you, again, Lookhead was like 1.5, 2.5. Now you're up to 3, 3.5. If you can get by Seattle there, then kind of the road opens up for you. I mean, you're going to have a tough game the week after that. The 49ers are going to have to go to Cincinnati.
Right.
So even if maybe you drop that one, Pritch, after that, you have the Falcons at home. You have the Texans at home. You're going to play the Titans at Tennessee, which is going to be a tough game. But again, what are the Texans going to be at? The Titans going to be at that point with all these, really important players dropping like flies. We're going to have to see. Will they have kind of a skeleton crew by that point? I think that's a winnable game. And then your last game of the year is at the Rams, which is going to be a tough game just anytime you're in conference. But I like what I'm seeing out of the 49ers, Pritch. I think you're finally getting this mojo going and the team that maybe we thought of moving forward. I think if you're laying minus 250, it's a minus number. But again, it's not too high for me. It's not a minus 500. I like the 49ers to make the playoffs.
Well, the 49ers are interesting, I think, recovering over losing Coach Saleh, too, as he becomes the head coach of the Jets. They had to adjust defensively. Also being healthy or staying healthy, significant factor there for the 49ers. So not bad at all. I mean, plus 200 to miss the playoffs, to make the playoffs, minus 250 right there. The odds telling you where that's trending. The football team, we talked about them to make the playoffs, plus 400. To miss the playoffs, minus 550. Let's get to the Rams, though. The Rams are interesting. They have star power, but yet they're not playing like it. I just saw a headline. Do the Rams have buyer's remorse with Matthew Stafford? I mean, come on. You talk about noise right now. They're 7-4, currently the fifth seed. To make the playoffs, minus 1,400. To miss the playoffs, plus 800. Jacksonville, the Cardinals, Seattle, Vikings, Ravens, 49ers, their remaining schedule.
So first off, Pritch, there is no way that I will lay a minus 1,400 on with the Rams to make the playoffs. That number is way too high. I know you have a big lead right now, 7-4, you know, with a good record here.
I'm talking about missing the playoffs.
I agree. I would be intrigued by the plus 800, Pritch. It's pizza money. It's Big Mac money, whatever you want to call it here. But this is a team, the way they're trending, and I bet on them, you know, a couple weeks here, especially that terrible, you know, Packers game where they go on the road, and they're just so one-dimensional, Pritch. And, you know, it's kind of funny, like Robert Woods, who, by the way, Troy Aikman called, I think, the third best wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, he's a good player, but number three, Pritch, that's a little bit high. Mm-hmm. But to that offense, it really shows with a guy who does a lot for you and is very, very reliable. Now that he's gone, they look like a completely different team. Stafford's making mistakes. You know, their big defensive guys really aren't doing much. You know, couldn't really get any pressure on all these backup linemen there for the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
So I think with all these tough games coming up, Pritch, like, yeah, you're going to beat the Jaguars. Like, you're probably going to beat the Seahawks in a couple weeks. But at the Cardinals, at the Vikings, at the Ravens, then the 49ers, I could see this, you know, lose three in a row, become a, you know, 2-7 down the stretch sort of thing. I am down on the Rams mm-hmm. right now. And if anything, Pritch, I would entertain a plus 800 to miss the playoffs.
Ramsey trying to cover Adams and shaking his head after every time Adams caught the ball, that's a bad sign. Von Miller cannot get around the edge against a third-team left tackle, that's a bad sign. I mean, Aaron Donald, he's phenomenal, but yet he can only do so much, really. I mean, where's the help going to come from on the Rams? And now the roster on offense, maybe they get it together, but Matthew Stafford now making excuses about his body doesn't feel right. Newsflash, everybody's body does not feel right in December.
Exactly, Pritch. And again, you know, buyer's remorse, that's interesting because, hey, you better not have buyer's remorse when you mortgage your future and give up all these picks. I mean,
right.
You've really wedded yourself to Stafford. So I don't want to hear that. You got to make this thing work if you're a Rams fan. Real quick, just kind of a public service announcement. I think a lot of people, Pritch, this week coming up are saying, I know the Rams have struggled, but they're playing the Jags. It's a get right spot. They'll obliterate the Jaguars mm-hmm. here, but don't be so fast. The Rams actually open around -13.5 at home against the Jaguars. And Pritch, I'm seeing books. We're showing 13.5 here, but I'm seeing some 13s. I'm seeing a 12.5 out here. The line is going to the Jaguars, even though across the market, BetMGM, DraftKings, you're getting almost 90% of bets laying it with the Rams here. And one notable thing when you get deep into the year, Pritch, if you're a December dog, so you get into kind of the last month of the season here, when you're a dog in December of 10 points or more, you actually cover the number around 56% of the time. So just keep an eye out. Again, we expect this team to roll over the lowly Jaguars, but it's going to the Jags. Its road dogs have done well this year. I wouldn't immediately rush to the window and lay it with the Rams. If anything, I'd be intrigued by the Jags and the points this weekend.
How about that? I mean, it's a prove-it league, and you have to prove it. The Rams have not done that yet, even though they were hyped up. What happens if you're all in on a poker hand and it's not going your way, Josh? I mean, what do you do there?
I mean, you pull the fire alarm and run out. Yeah, that's your only option, I think.
I mean, the Rams are all in here. Chips in the middle of the table, and they have no other options right now. The Vikings, 5-6 below 500. They're the eighth seed, -105 to make the playoffs, Josh. To miss the playoffs, -115. Remaining schedule, the Lions, the Steelers fading, the Bears, and then the Rams, Packers, and then the Bears again.
Yeah, so I think I would be kind of lean a little bit here, you know, maybe having the Vikings make the playoffs. You know, you're -105, -115. Of all the teams we've looked at, Pritch, this is the number one kind of coin flip. Again, you're getting minus numbers both sides. Mm-hmm. Odds makers are happy about that because no matter what happens, they'll take in the juice on both sides. But you just listed it, Pritch, you know, against the Lions here, you know, you've seen Minnesota, 7-point favorite, kind of a line freeze here, but you expect them to win that game against Jared Goff. Then you're getting versus at home against the Steelers, who have struggled this year a lot. At the Bears twice. You know, Rams and Packers, those will be tough games. But I could see the Vikings get around 9 wins maybe. That's definitely doable, and that may sneak you in here. I'd be looking at a -105. It's basically just a very low juice price. I would lean on the Vikings making the playoffs.
And then I think the books are agreeing with me in terms of the Saints and this defense. It's a playoff-caliber defense. They're just not inspired. So Sean Payton recognizing that and moving to Taysom Hill, a guy who's been with the team. Now, from a leadership standpoint, I don't know where that is as a starting quarterback. But at least when he came in for an injured Drew Brees, he was able to win some games. He's familiar with a lot of players. And so do you inject belief and confidence into this roster that's capable of making the playoffs? You look at the 5-6 Saints right now, the yes odds to make the playoffs +225, the no -275.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me, Pritch. I don't know. I'm starting to lose faith in the Saints right now. Okay. I think this is kind of your last hope now that Taysom Hill can kind of not just be a gadget player but assume the role. And again, we don't know if he can do this. This is kind of obviously based on the money that they've paid him and continue to pay him. They're confident that he can step in and do it. But I think the jury's out on Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. It's easy to kind of come in every now and again and have a trick play or have a great run or have a great pass. But if you got to do it consistently and you know call out the mic and call out the plays, I think it's a lot on a quarterback that doesn't have a ton of starting experience here. I would actually lean miss the playoffs -275. I know you got, you know, the Jets and, you know, I guess the Falcons, the final game of the year, a couple of these Saints plays, obviously the Panthers again, but you're gonna have to play the Bucks, you're gonna have to play the Cowboys. I just don't know if this team, they're kind of a 500 team, Pritch, and maybe that gets you in, maybe it doesn't, but I don't know. I'm starting to lose faith. I like the coaching, I like the defense, but when you're not putting up any points,
right.
I mean, that's really tough to really, you know, take you anywhere in this league. So I would lean -275 miss, but I think that's a debatable point.
Okay, let's say the Rams and the 49ers, they lock in at 5-6. That seventh seed is vulnerable. out of all these other teams below 500, which one would you give in terms of which bet would you make to make the playoffs here?
Oh, man, I would say the Eagles because, Pritch, just maybe because that division, who knows, it's so up and down, and, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of get on that Eagles train, and then you get thrown off the train when they lose to the Giants. I feel like it's maybe going to be one of those NFC East teams that we're disregarding that could sneak in as maybe the Cowboys fall off a little bit.
No long shot here. The Bears plus 2,500 to make the playoffs. Not biting.
But at least Nagy won that game, Pritch. That's at least he won the game.
And okay? How important was that for him? I mean, the comments that he
really important.
Right.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Let's get to college football coming up on the program. Also, some betting news across America when we continue our show, Betting Across America, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sports books, welcomes you with a special offer on college basketball. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team hits a three-pointer in the game, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code VSIN200 when you make your first bet. Enjoy college hoops like never before with BetMGM all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSIN200 to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21. It's a new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi or Nevada. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. And so we have some Betting Across America news. Josh, I saw a tweet by Ben Fox, our VP of Digital Content, about the handle out here in Nevada, and then also some more legalization news here across America.
Yeah, Pritch, we got to stay true to our name, Betting Across America. Mm-hmm. You're in Vegas, I'm in Boston. Sports betting legalization is spreading all across the country, which is just absolutely fantastic for those of us in the industry and people who just want to bet on sports legally and have different options. So two big things happened today. One, great state of Wisconsin, Pritch. A lot of good cheese out there, good bratwurst, but also give a shout out to those of our members or listeners in Wisconsin. They can now bet on sports legally in the great state of Wisconsin. Today, Wisconsin became the 30th state in the country to legalize sports betting. Now, you don't have full online betting. There's only one casino right now, the Oneida Casino. It's outside of Green Bay, but you can add it on the list here, Pritch. Another state with legalized betting. And sometimes when you just kind of open the door to maybe in-person betting at a casino, then the mobile betting follows, you know, typically in months or years later. So that's a great sign for Wisconsin. But really, Pritch, the big news today, and it was a great article by Dave Tooley on VSiN.com talking about the handle for sports betting. All the numbers for October just came out. So New Jersey still in first place, $1.3 billion wagered. Unbelievable here. Jersey's been doing this for a consecutive number of months here recently. But Vegas or Nevada for the first time, $1.1 billion in handle. Now, obviously, this is the first time that they've cracked $1 billion. It's massive. It speaks to how big sports betting legalization and how big betting just in general is spreading. But Pritch, one little nugget, and Dave Tooley did a really good job explaining this, was parlays. Now, listen to this. You know me as a guy who's kind of will ruin the fun and be a wet blanket and say, don't bet all those parlays. Uh-huh. Well, there's a reason behind it. If you look at all the data from Nevada in the month of October, they won $48.3 million on the $1.1 billion wagered. So that was a 4.39% hold percentage. Hold percentage is the amount of money that the book holds on to after they settle and pay out all their bets. But here's the thing, Pritch. Parlays, Nevada won $4.26 million. Again, doesn't seem like a lot, but a 37% hold percentage. So what does that mean, Pritch? It means on a regular average bet, the house is holding on to around $5 for every $100 bet. Mm-hmm. But for every $100 bet on a parlay, they're holding on to $37. So what does that mean? It means the books continue to make a killing off of parlays. And don't get me wrong, parlays are fun. You can bet a little bit and win a lot. And if you want to place a parlay bet here and there, all the power to you. But that number right there, 37% hold percentage for parlays, it goes to show you that it's really tough to win parlays. The books make a killing off parlays, and you as the bettor, I would assume or I would recommend flat betting more often than not, a parlay here and there. But if you always bet parlays, just remember, you're really feeding the house, and it's really making it difficult on you as a bettor.
Yeah, parlays are probably like the penny slots here in the casino.
They are.
Seriously, right? I mean, the hold percentage on penny slots out here in our state is incredible. Great information right there, Josh. Let's get to college football. College football conference championship early week line movements here. It's interesting because Georgia – their championship game against Alabama, opening line was -4. Now Georgia, -6.5. Actually, it was -4.5. Now -6.5. Michigan, -10.5, still at 10.5. Cincinnati opened up -10, -10.5 right now. Oklahoma State, -6.5. Oklahoma State currently -5.5. And then San Diego State in the Mountain West Conference Championship, -4.5. And San Diego State now -6. So we're seeing significant line movement on some of these games, key games, important games, certainly for the college football conference championship week.
Yeah, so let's start off with the big one here, Pritch. Georgia and Alabama. Really what kind of was notable to me is a huge move toward Georgia and really a buy low opportunity that you really never get if you want to back and take an inflated dog price here, hopefully a plus seven if you want to bet Alabama. So we saw tweets, you know, recently or maybe a month ago, Pritch, when Circa had their look at number of this possible championship game. It was only minus three here with Georgia. Obviously, things have changed since then. Georgia continues to roll, and really Alabama has kind of struggled a bit here. You know, they continue to win. You beat Arkansas, but you only beat them by seven, and you don't cover the minus 20. You know, you beat Auburn barely by 2 points. You don't cover the minus 20 there. So they're winning, but they're not covering. So kind of the perception of Alabama is really like, you know, can we really trust this team? Yeah, they're the powerhouse, but they're going up against Georgia, and Georgia's going to roll here. Now, that early number, any of those threes, four and a half, so they're all the way up to, you know, six and a half or even seven now. So that was respected money early on Georgia. But Pritch, in situations like this, it kind of reminds me of how I bet March Madness or bowl games in general. Because there's way fewer games on Saturdays now with all the championship games, every single one is nationally televised. Every single one is extremely heavily bet, way more than just a regular season game. So what I like to do is look for inflated numbers. When a number has moved so much off an opener that you can buy low and take a dog, and that's what I'm looking at with Alabama here, Pritch. They're never in the situation where you're number one, you're a dog. This is the first time, I think, since 2016 or 2018. The last time, ironically, was against Georgia, and they beat them 38-10. But you never get them in the spot. You never get them contrarian. If you can find a seven, I'm on Alabama plus seven here, Pritch, a spot that they're never in and have a lot of value. And again, if you're laying a six and a half now or seven with Georgia, who knows? They could roll and you maybe cash your bet, but you're getting the worst of the number in the most lopsided game on Saturday. I like Georgia. I like Alabama in this spot at seven, a situation that they're never, ever in.
Ben Wilson, who's our producer and also from the state of Wisconsin, says that last time Bama was a dog was, 2015? Here against Georgia. So this is interesting. Nick Saban as a 6.5-point dog against Georgia. Now, Georgia, the only team to put up 17 points, respectable points, was Tennessee. And that was an ambush weekend. That was homecoming. They had Peyton Manning. They had every Tennessee star imaginable returning for that game. That stadium was juiced up. And they still only put up 17 points against Georgia defense.
Yeah, that's kind of what the difference between these two teams, Pritch. You know, I'm looking at kind of their stats and splits. They're both averaging about 40 points a game. Offenses are pretty similar. The difference is on defense. This Georgia defense, the whole point to me of this game, whether or not Alabama can cover, is can you get into the end zone here against this really good Georgia defense? They're only giving up about 7 points a game. Whereas, again, Alabama, they're only giving up around 19 or 20, so pretty respectable there. But I think that's the difference. And if you're banking on Georgia to win and cover this number, you're really banking on that great defense to shut down Bryce Young, who, by the way, -200. I think the seas are parting here for Young to win that Heisman, Pritch. I think he's kind of the odds-on guy right now. That 200 could be worthwhile. Could tick up to, you know, 300, 400. What if he plays well and puts up, you know, a couple touchdowns and, you know, 300 yards against Georgia? That's going to be tough to do, but I think kind of the clamoring for his Heisman talk is just going to increase if he has a good game against that really good Georgia D.
Also, headlines to notable movements with head coaches. I need a podcast to explain what's going on in college football. I do, Josh, because there were so many reasons why this was going to happen. Mel Tucker was the tip of the iceberg here. But you do have a podcast. So let's get to your Market Insights podcast, because we got a big game in college basketball, also the NBA.
Yeah, so the first one that jumped out to me, and again, you had a really nice KenPom sound the alarm. I joke about this. It's when KenPom, who I really, really respect with his analytics, he has a team winning the game based on his projections, and yet in Vegas, they're getting points. So it only happens maybe once a day or a couple times a day, but it did cash last night with Iowa, who he had winning by one, but they were a dog getting 2.5. Now, the big one tonight, Pritch, would be Ohio State. I'm on Ohio State plus the points. This is a 9:30 game. It's your most heavily bet college game of the night. And a couple things are going on here. Number one, Duke coming off that huge win against Gonzaga as a dog winning outright, now the number one team in the nation. Everyone is loving Duke. They love Duke anyway, but after that win against Gonzaga, it's like, are you kidding me? They're only laying 3 points against Ohio State. Oddsmakers are crazy. Don't even think about it. Lay the points with Duke. But I like going Ohio State here, Pritch. Number one, this would be a KenPom sound the alarm. KenPom has Ohio State winning this game by 1 point. So just in terms of value, if he's got a guy who's really respected in the industry with his projections, has Ohio State winning, and yet you're getting a plus three. And Pritch, I would even venture to say, can you get a 3.5? You're going to have so much love for Duke after that Gonzaga win that naturally I'm looking at 92% of bets here, laying it with Duke, yet it opened at 3 and really hasn't moved at all. It even got down to 2 throughout the week. I really like Ohio State here. It's your top contrarian play of the night. It's a KenPom sound the alarm. See if we can make it 2 for 2 after Iowa last night, Pritch, which, by the way, huge bucket there late for the Hawkeyes to cash that bet.
I know. How about that? I mean, Duke, how do you beat Gonzaga that has monsters all over the court, right? You have your own monster, Banchero. I mean, that guy is incredible too, right?
He really is. And Pritch, another thing on top of Gonzaga, they played Tarleton State last night. They barely beat Tarleton State. That was like a tied game late into the second half.
Sure.
Well, they were a massive massive favorite in that one. But, Pritch, good luck tonight, my man. Big Tuesday night.
Yes. I'm actually going to be watching Golden State and Phoenix, getting more intel about basketball as we're getting closer and closer to Christmas, where I'll start making bets. But stay tuned for The Edge, JVT, Matt Eumanns, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.